Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. That's a lot.
I am fired up today.
Take it away, Tyler. Take it away, my friend.
This is Sideline Judgment, otherwise known as the unofficial home of Jacksonville Jaguars fan base. Like, the, I don't know. I'm just spouting words at this point. Duval, baby. We're going to the AFC Championship.
So the intro I had planned in my head was, and today we're going to be talking about how Le'Veon Bell's going to eat his words. And about how God descended upon U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota and decided to move every secondary off the field in order for Stephon Diggs to walk into the end zone. But I kind of like Tyler's a little bit better.
I'm sorry, I'm too excited.
No, you're good. You're good, man. This is a partnership here. You take the reins when you want to. But I guess with that being said, let's just jump into this stuff, man. Do you want to just start with the Jags? So I was going to go in order of the games.
But we can go in order of the games. I'm just putting it out there for everyone listening.
Okay.
That, especially if you just are, you know, oblivious and don't know what happened, I will be very excited in several minutes.
Oh, excuse me, guys. I'm still fighting that cold. Tyler, by the way, when we came in, he said, "Wow, what a game." And I immediately thought he was talking about the Minnesota game. And I said, "Yeah, wow, the Miracle Minnesota." And he said, "Oh, I meant the Jags game." So that's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
That's where we're at. We're going to go ahead and start off on Saturday, though. The Atlanta Falcons fell to the Nick Foles 4-fumble, I don't have a running back that can hold the football, Philadelphia Eagles, 15-10. That, to me, was the biggest part of this game, Tyler. Jay Ajayi, the J-Train, and LeGarrette Blount decided they didn't know how to hold a football.
Oh, it's cold. I mean, like, it's hard to grab it on the football.
They both fumbled at least once in that first quarter. Philly was just, I don't know. It was a very underwhelming game for me.
Yeah,
I figured it was going to be kind of close, and I figured it would be this kind of weird fought game. But good God, the highlight of the first half of the Eagles was a pass that bounced off of the knee of a defensive back.
Yeah. So. What I'm going to say is this game went about as I expected from how the Eagles played. Just disjointed on offense, but stout on defense. Their lines on both the offensive and defensive lines for the Eagles played very well. Yes. What I was surprised about was that the way the Falcons played was, you know, not good.
Not at all.
But the Eagles played about how I expected them to. Nick Foles was eh. It was okay. Like, he did his job, but, like...
But that's what you're going to get with Nick Foles. You're just going to get that Nick Foles is consistency. He's consistent, but he's consistently mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't inspire fear in you. What's good for Philly is that their offensive and defensive line do inspire fear. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a positive for them going forward, but they got to prepare for that. Falcons, man. They peak Falcons.
They peak Falcons.
Peak, like, Falcons.
I feel bad for every sports fan in the state of Alabama.
State of Georgia, you mean?
State of Georgia, I'm so sorry.
Alabama fans are pretty happy. I'm pretty happy. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's no secret I'm a big soccer fan. I'm also a big MLS fan. For those who don't know, Atlanta United had one of the best first years in their sports history. They get to the playoffs, and they lose on penalties because their penalty takers choked. I'm talking about the best players in the league. They had one of the most explosive offenses in the country, in the league, and they choked on penalties. So you got that starting off.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Georgia losing to Alabama. Now you got the Falcons once again not showing up in a big game. Because let's not forget that the beginning of this was started in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
I feel bad for you Atlanta fans.
My thing with Atlanta is that this was very clearly to me, this was on Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The play calls were awful. It's amazing that they retained pretty much all the personnel from one of the most explosive offenses in NFL history, the Atlanta Falcons last year. They were up there. I think they're a top 10 most explosive offense of all time. And the offense was just not good this season. And frankly, it was not good in this game. I mean, they had one touchdown. But, I mean, it really can all be summed up on the final play of the game. In that it was a fourth and goal. And you have a veteran quarterback who is not a mobile quarterback, but a veteran quarterback.
No, and you have arguably one of the best wide receivers in the game. Antonio Matt Ryan has something to say.
We'll talk about that. But, you know, the smart thing to do would be give a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan like four or five options, or at least three or four to go to on a game-winning play. But no.
And what do you need? What do you need? 2 yards?
2 yards.
2 yards?
They need a sprint out. They do a sprint out to the right where you give at most two options. Julio Jones, and then Julio Jones let them down twice in that play.
Yeah.
He slipped.
First time.
And then he could have caught the ball.
His hands.
He could have caught the ball when he jumped up when Matt Ryan bought some time and threw a lob pass, but then it just went through his hands. So he failed them twice, which, I mean, it happens, but, like, I just think the play call was ridiculous. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it worked for Clemson when they won a title off of it, but that's just because that's the style of defense Alabama plays.
And not even that. I think Matt Ryan is an outstanding quarterback, but he's not Deshaun Watson in his mobility.
Well, yeah, but the things like Matt Ryan can go through a progression.
Yeah.
You should at least give him a couple options, and they just didn't. And, I mean, it shouldn't have come down to that final play. They should have been able to beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was in Philly, but Philadelphia did not play well overall. Just the Falcons did not execute. And I think if you're the Falcons, I think if you're Dan Quinn, you got a good young roster. You got a defense that's improving. You still got so many talented offensive players. You got a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan.
You need a better
offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you need to hire someone better, because Shanahan, as we can see, was the heart and soul of that offense.
I think Shanahan is a generational play caller for them, but this was just watch the Atlanta Falcons throughout the entire season. They just consistently underperformed on offense.
Yeah.
Shanahan, like you just said, Shanahan was the heart and soul of that offense. He made it tick. But you can't be this bad after that year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't score 10 points.
Yeah. You can't let it down.
You can't.
With the same personnel. That's a big thing.
They have basically the entirely same personnel. You can't hold a team to 15 points and lose. Yeah. Not with the same personnel as last year's high scoring offense in the NFL.
I agree. I 100% agree with you. I really don't have much else to say about this game.
Yeah, it was very entertaining late.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that great to early.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It was very grind.
I started watching this game at Sonny's. I was on a dinner break from an assignment I had, and then the rest of this game I watched on my laptop while crewing. This is the theater show. I'm an actor, by the way. I have to crew shows. So, for those who don't know, that's why I'm in the theater a lot. So, I was backstage helping crew a show, watching the game on my laptop when not being used. But, yeah, for sure, the second quarter was probably the best part of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because that's when the points were scored, but it was just when things
looking
happened.
Looking at this now, the Falcons didn't score a point after halftime. That's awful.
That's horrible. You're up.
That's just lack of adjustments.
Yeah, you're up 10-9 at halftime. You should come out and I think the Falcons got the ball first in the second half, right?
I have no clue.
I don't know. Well, you should come out in your first possession in the second half and go out there and score a touchdown at least. All right, anyway, we're going to move on to the next game, which honestly we don't have to talk about much either.
This was the most boring game.
This game was so horrible. It was so anti... It was a tease, too.
It was interesting.
Because the Titans went up first.
It was interesting for a good 10 minutes because the Titans went up. They had looked pretty good early.
We're talking about New England's 35-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans.
Should be, I mean, it's basically 35-7, though, because, Titans, a garbage time touchdown. It should not count.
No.
But Titans went up, really good early. But, one of my roommates is a New England fan, and he's talked to me about this a lot. And this is how, I mean, I've watched the games, too, and he's extremely right. The Patriots offense always gets off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
Always. That's just how they work. Because
I think that, more than anything, that's the sign of Brady aging. Just not, I mean, I think so. Just not being able to come out of the gate. When Brady warms up in-game, it's a scary thing. Because when he's on, he's on. But it just takes him a little longer to get there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about this later when we do a little bit of previewing. But, I've kind of figured out, Patriots method with things.
The TB12 method?
Whatever. But part of it is just the Patriots are nowadays, they're just very slow to start on offense, and they get going when they figure out what you're doing and what you're trying to do to stop them.
Right.
which is why it's important for the Titans to get a lead. Why it was important for the Titans to get a lead early, and they did at first, but they couldn't sustain that. And I think a lot of that had to do with Mariota being injured,
right?
But ultimately, the Titans Patriots are just a far superior team,
right?
And it showed. And also, in recent news, Titans parted ways with their head coach Mike Mularkey
after agreeing to an extension. Right? That was a weird
They were discussing an extension, and then they mutually agreed to part ways. I don't know. There's some behind-the-scenes stuff.
There's some definitely behind-the-scenes stuff. But other way, regardless, that's good for Mariota.
I almost fell asleep in this game.
That's bad for you. I turned it off. I was watching on my laptop, and I turned it off halfway through. I couldn't watch him.
I was at the point now where I'm like, we're only going to get so much football left.
No,
I couldn't watch it, but it was tough, man.
I could not watch it, dude. I could not. Had other things to do.
All right.
Preferred it. Your Eagles. Speaking of Eagles, shout out to Steven Peters. He was at the game.
Yes, he was.
Flew up to Philadelphia to watch the Eagles play. Good for him. Good for him.
And they played like their worst game of the season.
Yeah, I know. Poor Steven. So the Eagles moved to the NFC Championship game, and the Patriots moved to the AFC Championship game. We knew the locations. Eagles were the one seed in the NFC. Patriots were the one seed in the AFC. We know the locations. Now it's time to find out who they play. Sunday, January 14th, 2018, is probably, in my opinion, the best football day of the year in this past season. Between both of these games and the power
probably.
Of what happened in these games. I think the most exciting.
Probably the
Let's
most
go
exciting.
Ahead and start off with...
Both of these games were excellent.
Let's start off with the 105 game. Jacksonville Jaguars, 45. Pittsburgh Steelers, 42. In one of the most offensively explosive games I've seen in the NFL since Watson went out.
Yeah, since the Houston Seattle game. Since the Watson probably injury. The most explosive.
I'm just gonna go ahead talk. I'm gonna give you the reins.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Take care.
I'm gonna be honest. Okay, first of all, this game was stressful.
I saw this game from my laptop backstage as well.
This game was very stressful.
I had to be quiet.
Because, okay, first of all, congratulations, Jaguars. I didn't know you had that offense in you.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. I think they were hiding something against the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Bortles, did you see the video of Blake Bortles where he looked like he was staring at his own breath?
Blake the Goat Bortles?
Yeah, basically.
No, I did not.
Well, there's a video of when a camera panned to him, and he's on the sideline, he's sitting down, and he's like, because it's so cold there, that like your breath, like,
yeah,
it looks like you can see your breath, and he's like blowing it, and it really looks like, honestly, like he's just fascinated by that. that was amazing. But 45 points, only 7 of them from the defense. Only set one touchdown off turnover by Telvin Smith. And I just honestly did not know that this offense had that in them. Because I knew this offense was okay, occasionally explosive, mostly against really bad teams and bad defenses, it would exploit them. But against good defenses, it was above average, but it wasn't great. It was fantastic. We didn't turn the ball over once. There was only one play that went for negative yards in the entire game. That was the kneel at the very end.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So actually, no, not the kneel at the very end. Kneel at the end of the second half.
Ah, okay.
Bortles didn't get sacked once. The offensive line played tremendously.
They did.
And
they opened up lanes for that, dude. T.J. Yeldon.
The offensive line has, when it's got its full starting lineup, has been excellent in pass protection all year.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been excellent in run blocking all year. I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah.
Now,
how much of that is a testament to the Jags? Yes, a testament to the Jags line, but also the Steelers defense.
They did not play. I think,
let alone play well.
I mean, ever since Ryan Chizier went out, they've looked like a shell of
themselves.
Yeah,
they've looked like they don't know what they're doing.
And you know what, Mike Mitchell, you can keep on talking, because if none of y'all know, Mike Mitchell was saying before the game. Well, first of all, I said before the game that it was going to come down to the Steelers and the Patriots in the AFC. Mm-hmm. He completely disregarded this team, which, I mean, I get, kind of, because the Jaguars are kind of an upstart. Nobody really believes in this team.
Listen, I don't get this.
But what I don't get is he came out. He was before the game. He was outside the Jaguars locker room yelling, "Y'all gonna know my name." by the end of this game. Like, this is a literal thing that happened.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And, well, he played awful. Their entire defense played awful, and we won. Mm-hmm. Another thing, despite how great the offense played, the defense, they did give up 42 points. Now, I'm going to caveats to that.
Okay.
One of those touchdowns I'm not going to count because it was a complete garbage time touchdown. Like, there's literally 1 second left on the clock. Mm-hmm. They gave a cut. Like, it doesn't matter because the Steelers had wasted so much time. It's like they
can't. Well, the Steelers decided to onside kick. That's the beginning of all this problem.
But... Oh, that onside kick that Mike Tomlin called with 2:18 left, you got two timeouts and still got the 2-minute warning. That means that you don't believe you can get a three out. You don't trust your defense to get a three and out.
Yeah.
All we needed was 9 yards to kick a field goal. Like, we have a good field goal kicker now, so like...
Former U.S. U-17 international. He's got 6 caps to his name. He was a goalie for the U.S. soccer...
Put Josh Lambeau in the Pride of the Jaguars, but that's... I apologize for that. But one of those touchdowns I discount mm-hmm. because it's garbage time, so it doesn't matter. So really the score should be 45-35. In my mind, like, when you really break it down. Now, this defense did not play their best game.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions for you. How concerned are you to go up against New England with that performance?
I'm not as concerned as I probably should be, because you watch this game, most of those touchdowns were on spectacular plays. Well, two of them were Antonio Brown and
Big Ben just doing their thing.
Antonio Brown, I believe for a long time that it was between Julio Jones and Antonio Brown for the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I think AB solidified that.
Playing off a torn calf, having as many yards as he did.
There's no way he was fully healthy.
Oh, there's no way. There's no way. You watch him, he doesn't have his speed. No. But
he turned it on when he needed to. Yeah. But
the offense,
he had Bouye in the dust. Let me ask you the question. Why wasn't Ramsey guarding AB?
Bouye's faster. Boy is a faster corner. Boy is more of a technical corner. But also, they weren't actually, like, no one was shadowing another player. They play base defense.
Yeah, a lot.
They're going to cover their man. They dropped. Probably because I think at this point, they'd gone to respect Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster. Because in week 5, neither of those players were extremely dangerous.
Right.
Martavis Bryant was okay, but Juju was not what he was.
Hadn't developed into who he is.
He hadn't developed. Now, and he was pretty good. And I think... Here's my view on it. I am a little surprised. Mm-hmm. That they gave this many points, and I'm very concerned.
Yeah, that's what I should be.
I can talk myself into being okay with it, because the Jaguars played knowing that they just had, like, they work in a blitz. Because mm-hmm. why would you blitz if you know they're throwing the ball?
Right.
And half the big plays, half the touchdowns were just spectacular plays that I don't personally feel can be replicated. Because mm-hmm. I don't think the Patriots, other than Rob Gronkowski, I don't think the Patriots have the weapons the Steelers do. I think the Steelers have more talented receivers mm-hmm. and running backs. And the Steelers have two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get pressure on Big Ben with just four linemen coming after him. Mm-hmm. Why would you? I don't know how else you would have played it. Why would you blitz? You're just taking a guy out of coverage.
Yeah, like, and you need as many coverage men as
and,
you
can. And Tom Brady is...
Well, hold on. Okay, I was going to... Before you keep going, let's put a bookmark in that.
Okay, I'll get
we'll,
back to
it. We'll get back to when we preview the championship games. Yeah. I got a few more things to say. This game made me want to play fantasy football in the playoffs. When Leonard Fournette went down... I was very concerned.
Oh, so
I had not been concerned the whole game, and when I saw him limp off in that fashion, I was very concerned.
I wasn't concerned for the game.
Okay.
Because I was like, most of the games that we haven't had Leonard Fournette, we've won.
Okay.
Because our running game has still worked, but like the Colts game, I believe there was the Colts game in particular, we ran very effectively. Mm-hmm. But I was concerned, like, if Leonard Fournette sustained a season-ending injury in that game, on that play, which is what it looked like
at the moment.
I was like, I was not concerned with our ability to win this game. I was concerned with our ability to win anything after that.
Yeah. Especially since, Chris Ivory was out?
Chris Ivory was a healthy scratch.
Yeah. A healthy scratch?
Healthy scratch.
Oh, I thought he was... Oh, okay.
Well, TJ Yeldon was sick last week and he played. Mm-hmm. Very, very seldom have all four running backs been active.
Right.
Usually it's just three. I feel like going forward they might go all four.
They might have to just because of
Fournette's health. Why would you not at this point?
Yeah.
But yeah, you were saying the other one.
And my last thing is, what is more likely to happen next season? Mike Tomlin comes back as coach or Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season?
Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback.
That's more likely, you think?
Oh, that's tough, actually.
Because this is a big concern now.
Because of what should happen, I mean, I respect Mike Tomlin as a coach, but in my personal opinion, he's holding them back.
Yeah, that's exactly what
he's. He's supposed to be a defensive head coach. They've been and he's
his time management and in game and in game situations are horrible.
Their offense is spectacular.
That's like, what's lost them the playoffs in the past 3 years.
Yeah, and I think an underrated storyline for this. This entire playoffs is how the defenses have ruled, and the defenses have beaten three-star quarterbacks on the way to the champ. Three best defenses in football this year, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Jags, beat star quarterbacks to get to the Final Four.
For the record, I'd like to say I don't think the Jags defense beat a star quarterback. I think Blake Bortles turned into Blake Bortles assumed the body of Bob Greasy and decided to play football.
You know we're one of the only franchises with a winning record against the Steelers? We're 5-1 against them at home. What? And we're 5-1 against them at Heinz Field. And we are the only team ever, now twice, the to only team ever to beat them twice in the same, home field in, at, the same in the same season. Fantastic.
Oh boy. All right, so Jack's 45. Let's Duval, enough maybe. Of the okay, we yeah. I know, you're happy, you're excited.
I'm so excited.
Let's talk about this Saints-Vikings game, all right, and then we'll preview the next games. The miracle in Minnesota is what I've been reading it, as has been said. A couple of Ringer writers wrote that. Saints 24, Vikings 29, in probably the best 2 minutes of football this entire season.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. You know, I just paused the highlights on ESPN when they pulled up the stat page. But I'm going to let him keep running without volume in the background because this game was that fun. Let's just talk about those. Let's fast forward to those 2 minutes. All right, here I am in the fourth quarter. Boom. Okay. Kai Forbath hits a 53-yard field goal. I'm sorry. No. Let's go back a little bit further. So Drew Brees with that pass to Alvin Kamara. Kamara, once again, ladies and gentlemen, Kamara, not Kamara. Kamara for 14 yards to come within one of the game, right?
They took a 1-point lead on that.
They took a 1-point lead, 20-21. Then you have Case Keenum drive down the field, set him up, and Kai Forbath hits a 53-yard field goal to take the lead, 23-21. Then you got Drew Brees doing his thing in the dome, 11 plays, 50 yards in a minute and 4 seconds for Will Lutz to hit a 43-yard field goal to go up 24-23. Now, here we go. 4 plays, 75 yards in 25 seconds by Case Keenum to drive him down. Hit Stephon Diggs with, honestly, when I first saw it, because I didn't see it live. I was at Publix. I was game casting play-by-play. When I got home and I watched these last 2 minutes. My first thing was, wait, where's the safety? Like, I had no idea how... I mean, they have no timeouts. They were clearly going for the touchdown and not the field goal. All they needed was to tackle whoever got the ball, in this case Stephon Diggs, inbounds in the middle of the field, and there wouldn't have been enough time to go set up, clock it, and try to kick a field goal. Like, that's literally all you had to do. And then you had number 23, Marcus Williams, who's a rookie, just
whiff. He whiffed.
Oh my god. And, but like, whiff isn't even a good word for it.
Alright, I will say first of all, I don't apologize for my pick for the Saints to win at all, because other than that one play they
neither,
would've.
No, yeah, neither do I. Neither do I.
But I'll say that, I mean, people are gonna criticize Marcus Williams' legacy could be defined by that play as a player.
His legacy He's a rookie.
He had a fantastic rookie season. Like, overall, his season was fantastic. But, I mean, he had one bad play, and it was a total choke and whiff.
One bad play does not make a player.
But it is what it is.
But it is what it is.
And, exactly. And the Saints lost on a miracle play. just a bad combination. It's like, it was like the Tennessee to Florida Hail Mary, where it's like, what is
the safety what's doing? Where is the safety? Is that a safety? Okay, cool.
And, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It was just a miracle, and it was amazing to see. And it's the Vikings' miracle season continues.
Everything the let's talk about the Vikings for a second. Everything that the Vikings okay, we're watching this play again. Yeah, there's no safety on that. Wow, crazy.
He saw what I think happened. Marcus Williams telegraphed that he saw that it was coming. He saw that that pass was coming. He read it correctly, but he should not have crashed down.
I think he was going for
Stephon
Diggs' legs. He was expecting Stephon Diggs to just catch the ball and then just take out his legs right then and there so he doesn't go out of bounds. But what he didn't expect was Case Keenum putting it a little bit higher and the jump by Stephon Diggs.
Honestly, I'm just surprised Stephon Diggs like stayed on his feet.
Yeah, because that the like, momentum coming down. Like,
it was an
awkward
like,
angle.
Just say people like talk about how, you know, he wasn't in the right position and everything. But like if he hits his legs, no one ever gives this a second thought.
No, we don't we're not talking about this.
So it's just amazing. But the Vikings
season, when Dalvin Cook went down, when Bradford went down, when Bridgewater was still out from last year, and they threw Case Keenum in there, Adam Thielen is literally the equivalent of an NFL walk-on. He came to an open tryout for the team. And he's arguably their best receiver. Stephon Diggs coming in big again, having another big game.
It's just amazing what they've been able to overcome.
Yeah, in a year where they're hosting the Super Bowl. I mean, and remember, they have this nice brand new stadium, not because they wanted to. They had a snowstorm like 5-6 years ago that destroyed their dome.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, yeah, okay, yeah, now that it's gone, we might as well build a shiny new toy. But, like, think about it. They didn't choose to build this brand new thing. Yeah, they get the Super Bowl now, which is great. And now they play the Eagles, where Carson Wentz is gone, and it looks like Nick Foles is just...
They've got a better defense.
Nick Foles looks like a poor man's Case Keenum. And Case Keenum is a poor man's starting quarterback. Like, come on, bro.
God. Either Case Keenum is the greatest backup quarterback ever, or he's just an above-average starter.
Oh, this is crazy.
Yeah. You gotta realize that, it's so amazing that the three quarterbacks that were under Jeff Fisher in the Rams at some point all made the playoffs. Nick Foles kind of did it off the back of Carson Wentz, but whatever. Case Keenum did it, and Jared Goff did it with actual coaches that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is
amazing. It just shows us that Jeff Fisher has an eye for talent, but just can't develop them.
Basically, Jeff Fisher knows how to draft players.
He's exactly.
God, make him a general manager.
Yeah, like, he'd be a good general manager somewhere. I think.
Or make him a scout at least. Yeah. Like, he knows how to draft. He knows how to build a roster.
Yeah,
just doesn't know how to develop players.
All right, so I think that's anything else you have to say about this game?
Well, it was amazing.
Two things. Drew Brees is an unrestricted free agent this year.
Oh crap!
I think he stays.
It would take a miracle for him to
leave somewhere.
To leave.
Yeah.
Nothing's going
to
change.
Yeah, but I mean, the Saints kind of found a way to not solely rely on Breeze's arm, but they drafted well. Their defense is young. There's like four rookies on that defense, including Alex Anzalone.
Yeah, he's been injured for the last half of the season. He's been injured for the last half of the
season.
Yeah,
I know.
But he was amazing. He was very good when he was playing.
That, and also, the big question, we talked about this a lot last week. All three quarterbacks on that Vikings roster are unrestricted free agents next year.
I mean, they're keeping Case Keenum.
They're keeping, yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. As the Viking, I asked you last week, as a Jags fan, who would you take? In the Viking scenario, let's say if you... Oh my God, how do I phrase this question? All right, the Vikings win the Super Bowl, right? With Case Keenum as their quarterback, and they go on.
Would be amazing.
Would be a great story.
Pretty much all of, everybody with the Patriots at this point would be a great story.
Right, exactly, yeah, pretty much. And that's what I want, anyone but the Patriots. Sorry, bitter Dolphin fan here, sorry. Does Case Keenum become a Joe Flacco? Or does Case Keenum deserve the money and end up doing this again and again and again? Because, like, in my mind, as the Vikings organization, the best athlete on that roster among the three is Teddy Bridgewater. Hands down. Bradford is injury prone. I think Bradford's gone.
Bradford's gone. They're not keeping him.
No. But no, now it's between Bridgewater and Keenum. Who do you go? Do you go with the guy that took over the team with you and has pretty much put the entire city of Minnesota? Him leading that Viking clap, the skull clap, was a moment. That was a moment. I'd like to point out that none of that happens if Iceland doesn't qualify for the Euros in 2016 and bring the Viking clap all over the world. So I just want credit where it's due for my sport. Remember right? When that happened. I just want credit where it's because, due for my sport.
Like, I remember when the Iceland yes. did that, and then like the Vikings started doing it. I was like, well, that's not original.
Well, that first season in the 2016 season after the Euros, when they started doing that in their new arena, I got mad. I was like, no, I'm a soccer guy. I am going to proudly represent and proudly defend the Icelandic people for taking that. No, I was like, no, it's an appropriation. It's horrible. Now I'm like, nah, it's just sports.
It's sports. Calm down, dude. It's like, you could let sports teams yeah, enjoy, let them have it. Let them have things.
It. I thought it was a beautiful moment. It was a very nice moment. Still think Iceland doing it after they beat England in the Euros was better.
That was better. That was
better. Nicer. It was more emotional for me, at least. I'm just a soccer nut. You know this. I'm a soccer nut.
Anyway,
so my question is, Teddy Bridgewater or Case Keenum? They're both fully healthy. Everything happens. Who do you take as your starting quarterback?
Well, if you're the Vikings, like, first of all, if you make the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. that's one. Like, if he wins the Super Bowl in your scenario,
in Minnesota,
you got to keep chasing him. I think at that point, what they would do is they would, as much as they love Teddy Bridgewater, like by the
trade time, him away,
they trade him. They'd see what they could get for him.
Get better assets. And they would
draft a low round quarterback.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Bradford's gone, they might do themselves a favor because Pat Shurmur, the
offensive. So do you sign them both and then try to trade Teddy?
Well, you could. So I would say they pick up his fifth year option. They pick up Teddy Bridgewater's fifth year option, and then they would.
Shop him around.
Then they'd shop him, and if they found, because they love him, so they'd probably try to trade him to somebody. A lot of teams will do this. Some players will just trade for like what they want. Other players will trade
intelligently.
They'll trade empathetically. They'll be like Bill Belichick is not going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to the Browns.
It's Jimmy GQ.
He's not going to trade Jimmy GQ to the Browns. He's going to trade him to the 49ers, who have an up-and-coming head coach.
Right. And yes, like, he only got a second-round pick, but...
But, like, he could have gotten more from the Browns, but he's not going to... Some teams will not send those players. They'll trade them for the player's benefit. I feel like the Vikings would do that with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I feel so, too.
I feel like they'd shop him around. They might send him to wherever Pat Shurmur goes. Pat Shurmur is the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. He's also the father of the Vanderbilt quarterback.
Kyle Shurmur. And there's rumors saying that Shurmur's interested in the Titans job. There's also saying that
I've heard Arizona.
Or in the Arizona job, that would as well.
He's got a young quarterback to work with in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think it was probably the smart idea for the Titans to part ways with Mike Mularkey.
I agree.
As much as they were winning games, like...
No, but you could just see that the development was not there. The development, and his style was not suited.
He was wasting Mariota. Yes,
exactly.
I know Mariota was injured, so he had a bad year because of it, but, like, he's wasting Mariota.
He's a better talent.
He was not using Mariota the way you need to use Mariota.
I 100% agree. All right, cool. Yeah. So I guess that's everything. Also, yo, when Dalvin Cook comes back next year, bro, it's over. It's over. It's
statistically, their rushing game got better with
Dalvin Cook. Yeah, I know. Latavius Murray decided to put the entire team on his back.
Well, yeah, because like now they use a two-back system, which is a lot of times now. I mean, there's a trend in the NFL. There's like only one or two running backs got 300 or more carries this season.
Mm-hmm.
Where like 10 years ago, that was like, that number was like 15.
Yeah.
Because the bell cow running back days are kind of gone, and now we're going into running back by committee approaches, if you know how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, I mean, Dalvin Cook coming back would be scary.
All right.
Minnesota's defense is still the second best defense, so.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's what I think it's 1A, 1B.
With your Jaguars. 1A is the Jaguars.
You're being biased. Okay, all right, here we go.
Okay,
we're going to move forward.
They gave 42 points in one game. Did you not watch the rest of the season?
I did see the rest of the season, but I also saw them contain Drew Brees for the most part. Anyway, here we go. Championship Sunday. Sunday, January 21st at 3:05 p.m. on CBS, the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to the hated... Oh, I'm sorry, my Dolphins bias for shows. To the New England Patriots in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. I'm covering my laptop screen with the line because I want you to guess it. What is the line right now? What
do you think? Patriots are 9-point favorites.
Yeah, very good. Wow, spot on, my friend. Did you see it beforehand?
Yes.
I hate you. Did you see the other one too? Did you see the other one too?
Yes.
Okay, I'm covering. I'm removing my hands.
It's Minnesota 3-point favorites.
We're usually sitting across for each other, so I can kind of just do this, but we're sitting.
Well, I knew the Jaguars Patriots line before.
Oh, okay.
But I saw the Minnesota one because you're bad at
covering
things.
Yeah, I know. All right, so Jags traveling to New England. All right, we're going to make picks in a minute, but first, I want to ask you, Tyler, what do the Jags have to do to beat the Patriots?
They basically got to do a similar style of what the Pittsburgh game is, that you got to strike hot first.
Okay.
Because, and I'm going to explain this. This is my analysis of how the Patriots work. They don't outsmart you offensively. Their offense is their offense. It's the same thing every week. It's a West Coast offense. It's dink and dunk with the best quarterback. Like, they beat you because Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the game, and he knows what to do with the football. So he knows what to do in every situation. Their playbook is like a humongous book. I mean, they've got an empty I remember hearing they have an empty set for literally every formation. Right. That Tom Brady can go to if he wants to. So, but the thing is, they take a while to figure out what you're doing. They want to figure out how you plan to stop them so that they can counter plan. Uh-huh. Now, where the Patriots outsmart you is defensively. Because their defense is not very talented, but Bill Belichick is a mastermind, in my opinion. And
in everyone's opinion.
Well, yeah. But defensively, they find a way to take away what you do best. So what I think the key to the Jaguars winning this game, the Jaguars got to pull something they've never done all season.
Like Blake Bortles playing like a Pro Bowl level quarterback.
He's done issue.
That like four or five
that's
times
my thing.
I know.
Is
I
that
know.
I'm
just messing with you.
Jeff Darlington tweeted this, and I totally agree. Is that the thing?
Jeff Darlington.
Yes. What proves that people don't actually know anything about Jacksonville is that people were surprised Blake Bortles is capable of a good game.
He's done this before.
No, he's capable of good games. It's that he's too inconsistent.
Yes.
My point here is that Jaguars need to pull something out of the offensive playbook that they have not pulled all year. They need to figure out something.
Formation-wise, play-ball-wise?
I think both, but I think specifically formation-wise. Find a formation you haven't used all year. Find something you haven't done. Just freaking run the triple option if you have to. I make jokes about that, but I'm serious.
I don't know, man. Wouldn't be that horrible.
Well, NFL defenses don't know how to defend the triple option.
No, because it's not so run.
I'm not saying, what I would do is that, I mean, I'm not a football genius. I would do is I would run triple option style plays, and this would never work because I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But run triple option style plays, like all one drive, then go into those formations the next drive, and then do multiple things with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how football should work. The Jaguars got to come out hot. They gotta play man to man. Jalen Ramsey's got to cover Rob Gronkowski. They can't play base. They got to put their best corners on the best receivers, and they got to just cover man to man on the running backs and the wide receivers. And they just got to let their defensive line get after Tom Brady. They got a rough Brady.
Yes, Brady is when he is most susceptible. Correct.
Like Ben Roethlisberger is the exact opposite. You hit Ben Roethlisberger more and more like that. I know you want to hit every quarterback. He gets back up. Tom Brady's not like that. You hit Tom Brady enough, he's gonna start
yelling at Josh McDaniels on the sideline.
Yeah, pretty much. But so the Jaguars got to come out early. They got to come out swinging, and they did that in the Pittsburgh game. Mm-hmm. Their first couple offensive drives were amazing.
Yeah, no, they were.
And they weren't. What they did is that they didn't do what the Steelers expected. They weren't run heavy.
Right.
Like the first play of the game, my roommate yelled at the first play of the game when we ran up the middle for like 3 yards. He's like, oh, so it's going to be a conservative offense again. I was like, okay, calm down. It's been one play.
Yeah.
Like it literally been one play. The next five plays were passes. And they were mostly successful. So you got to get to a lead. You have, because this team cannot play from behind. Mm-hmm. Not against the Patriots. And you got to put your defense in. I see that this game could be the 2015 AFC Championship between the Broncos and the Patriots. You got to take the Broncos style of play.
Okay.
You got to take the Dolphins style of play from earlier this season.
A.
You got to just hit him early.
Yeah,
swing hard, swing fast.
Seen is the way you take down a bully is to stand up to him. And that's
you got to punch the Patriots.
That's
in the
Dolphins' approach every time that they come to Miami. Because yes, we kind of crumble up when we go up to Foxborough every year. But when we play in Miami, we kind of put on our big boy shoes, put on our big boy pants, and say, "You're not going to come in here and bully us in our own house." And it, for the most part, it works. We beat them like three of the last four times in Miami. That's the way you got to do it, man.
Well, that's the thing that the Jaguars did against the Steelers.
That's the way you got
to
do it.
Like this team is built to be a bully. On both the offense and the defense, you gotta flex that.
Yeah, you need Jalen Ramsey talk and run in his mouth. You need a Leonard Fournette jawing at linebackers when they tack when they say, "Yeah, I got that's you." They say, "Yeah, I got you," and he's like, "Yeah, but I got 8 yards on the run. So what does that even do?" You know.
That's my thing. Is that is interesting. Is that this game represents a different challenge for the Jaguars than last game, because the Patriots' offense, I would say, it's interesting because. I feel like the Steelers' offense is more explosive.
Mm-hmm.
They've got more talented receivers. They got a more talented running back. They got a better offensive line.
They're filled with stars, yeah.
But the Patriots' offense is just so much more difficult to defend.
Well, it's because of Tom Brady.
It's because of Tom Brady. But in that sense, this team, and I've been saying it to my roommate again is a New England fan, but he's also a Jaguars fan. So he has publicly said that he will be rooting for the Jaguars in this game.
Okay. I don't trust someone who roots for the Patriots regard any time.
You know what?
Okay.
It's just right, calm down, okay? He's a Jaguars fan at heart. That he and I have talked about this and he has agreed with me. The Patriots time has come. They had their time. He wants the Jaguars to have their time now. But he said to me, this is the matchup he wanted, because this is the matchup he felt that the Jaguars are capable of winning.
Okay.
The Jaguars have the defense that is built to beat Tom Brady.
I agree.
The physical defense.
You need to get to him.
You need to get to him. Blitz early, I get blitz early.
Often.
But and then just sit back, play man to man.
And then once Brady makes that check down, and they go for a 22-yard slant pattern to Chris Hogan, then you got to readjust and make another change and stand your toes.
And I love what last thing I'll probably say about this, other than actually I have two things to say. One of the things that I love the Jaguars did is that shows that their offensive staff is capable. And I personally don't think the play calling has been the issue all year. I think just inconsistency from the quarterback position has been and the offensive line has been the issues on the offense,
mm-hmm.
but like the touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Tommy Bohannon in this game,
mm-hmm.
was excellent because we're running up the middle with a fullback, and then you see the play, fullback goes to block, he sidesteps the guy, goes straight up the middle, no one accounts for him.
It's similar to the way the only touchdown from the Bills game,
correct?
Yep.
You gotta throw different
things
at the Patriots.
And it was on fourth and goal. They ran it the first three times. It was very well done. Last thing, because we gotta keep moving.
I mean, yeah, I just the Jaguars got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a shot. There was one more thing I wanted to say,
uh-huh.
and I've totally forgotten it. So I'm gonna keep speaking until I can remember. another thing is that. Find ways to get your running backs the ball in other ways than just running them.
Yeah, you got to be able to use.
You got that like TJ one of my favorite Yeldon, plays. Dude. One of my favorite plays of the game was the 40-yard pass to TJ Yeldon.
Yep,
just zip it to him out of the backfield.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Okay,
yeah,
all
that's
right.
That's pretty much all I got. The Jaguars got a shot.
It's time for your picks. Now you just made the case for your Jags to win.
The Jaguars.
What do you think will happen? Like, take your heart away, use your head. What do you
think?
What happen?
Do I think will happen?
Yes.
I just made that case with my heart and with my head a little bit, it's the Patriots, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pick with my objectiveness mm-hmm. against the Patriots. This is an up and coming team. I think this team, the Jags,
are up and coming.
The Jags
okay.
are up and coming.
These Patriots
team.
Are not
no,
up and
no,
coming.
They've been
okay.
here before, but
seven straight times to be exact.
That's actually like
that's good.
That sounds more surprising than it is. Like, we'd really think about it, I'm like, well, they usually only have to win, like, one game.
Well, they do play in the AFC East.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, they play in the AFC.
Yeah, true.
AFC's a weak conference.
True, true.
Comparatively, the NFC, I felt like all six of the teams in the NFC could have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I can see two.
I felt three of the teams in the AFC could have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Actually, I felt like two. I didn't even think we could, but now I think we have a shot.
So, with that being said, who do you have?
I have the Patriots.
Okay.
I have the Patriots in a 4-point win.
I'm going to take the Patriots in, I'll take the Patriots in a 7-point win with a late field goal.
This is really all, honestly, as much as it's about the defense, again, it's just going to come down to Blake Bortles.
You know my reasoning for this?
What?
Is because I've seen too many times Tom Brady pick apart anyone. Gronk is the healthiest he's been at this point in the season.
Oh, it's been like, he's the healthiest he's been in like 2 years.
But like, I feel like they haven't used him as much. Like, they're not sending him out over the middle when they don't have to. Like
I mean, he's not what he used to be.
No, of course not. He's older, but I don't know. I'm gonna take the Patriots.
Well, like that's another one of my things is that Tom Brady will pick apart any defense if you give him time.
Yeah, of course.
That's why you got to strike early. You got to pull some stuff you never done. And underrated factor that is beginning to change my mind. Tom Coughlin's in part of the Jaguars.
Listen, Tom Coughlin is not on line. But Tom Coughlin is not. Yeah, on he's the not sidelines.
Coaching. He's not coaching. But Doug Marrone is a fantastic.
He
coach.
Is. He's an outstanding coach. I think he should be coach of the year. Okay, so we both have the Patriots.
Well, I have to go with my head. And pardon me, honestly, parentheses here.
Uh-huh. Hopes you're wrong.
I picked the Steelers last week. And the Jaguars won.
Well, I picked the Jags last week, and the Jags won. So
okay, well, then
the Patriots. I'm going to pick with my head the Patriots, and with my heart the Jaguars.
Same.
I
think it'll be a good game.
Though. I think it'll be a great game.
I think the Jaguars, because like, oh, I remember what I was going to say. What Telvin Smith said in his post-game interview, really, it was like, this team's got a shot. When he asked, how are you going to beat Tom Brady? All he said was, prepare.
Yeah.
This is fired up, Telvin. This is post, like immediately post game. He's on the field. But even then, he's like, prepare. You gotta prepare.
Of course. You got all the work in this week. Moving on to the NFC, you got the Minnesota Vikings traveling to the Link in Philly at 6:40 p.m. on Fox. You know what's bad about this?
What?
We're gonna get what's his name? Who are the commentators?
Oh my god,
they're horrible. I hate listening to them. I really do. Sorry. Side note.
I'm not on this, like, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck hate bandwagon.
I am.
But
I do not like that. I feel like they just radiate arrogance that, like, I don't know football.
I will say.
And at the same time, they, like, don't even do the thing where they try to explain to me what's happening.
Well, that's what I love, commentators that, like, help me learn the game.
Yeah.
It was like, Tony Romo's great.
Which I love watching Romo. I love listening to Romo. My thing is just, like, I just feel just, like, they know the game more than us, and, like, they don't have to talk about X's and O's. And when Troy Aikman does talk about X's and O's, it just sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about. I know he does because he's been a quarterback, and he was a quarterback in the league for a long time, but I don't know.
Well, I think it's the Tony Romo issue where it's, like, Tony Romo does what he does right now where he, like, he knows today's football.
Yeah.
But the issue with that is that he's going to have to adapt because in five years, he's not going to know what he knows now.
That's fine, but
he'll adapt.
But he still seems like a person I want to sit down and drink coffee with.
I get you.
Do, like, if I see Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in a bar, like, I'm not approaching them. Like, I don't want to.
Even as
this amateur sports journalist that I am, I don't want to talk to them. You know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't want to talk to Joe Buck.
I don't want to talk to Joe Buck.
Okay, whatever.
All right, back to the game. Vikings, Eagles. Who do you got?
I got the Vikings.
I do too. But you want to know why?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got the Vikings because I don't trust Nick Foles. I got the Vikings because I think they are on an emotional high that they will ride back to Minneapolis.
It's very Atlanta Falcons-esque.
It's very Atlanta Falcons-esque. I hope they don't choke, but it's very Atlanta Falcons-esque.
Well, it's very like, they're just the hot team.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't consider us the hot team because we are both of our last, both of the Jaguars' last two wins in the playoffs have been close.
But like, everyone in the league says, oh, you don't want Jacksonville in the playoffs. I wouldn't call that being a hot team. You know, people know that that defense is for real.
The Vikings are just,
people know that if Bortles decides to play well, it's troublesome for
but
the teams.
The Vikings are just they just feel like they're on another level of they've got the chemistry. They're just the hot team, but honestly, on top of that, I think if you were to rank these defenses in the playoffs, the Vikings have you could make an argument for one. Four defenses, the Jaguars and the Vikings are easily 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
We can argue over the order, but they're the two best.
Yes, agreed.
Eagles have a fantastic defense as well.
They do.
But the Eagles, I don't think, have an offense that is going to be able to match up against the Vikings.
Right.
The Vikings got a superior defense, and the Vikings offense, it ain't half bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Case Keenum's thrown for 3,547 yards and 22 touchdowns.
Jeez, Case Keenum had a year, bro.
That's it's amazing. Numbers. It's absolutely amazing. And I think it's going to be close because Philly's good.
Yeah.
They're very good. I just don't think that without Carson Wentz, that with Nick Foles, they're going to have the explosiveness they need to beat the Vikings. Because that was the reason that the Saints almost won that game. I'm not apologizing for my pick that they were going to win the whole thing. Because other than a fluke play, they would have.
Right.
They would have won that game.
Yeah, no, they would have.
Because even when
we both picked the Saints last week.
That was the thing. Like, you need to, the way to beat the Vikings is you got to be explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Saints, basically, how do I explain this? The Saints, they tried sticking to their normal offense and it didn't work. They needed the Drew Brees, the vintage Drew Brees effect, and eventually that came into play in the second half.
Yeah.
And then they almost won the game. So you need to be explosive to beat the Vikings because you can't. Just like I think with the Jaguars, I don't think you can beat them 5 yard plays at a time.
Yeah,
you need explosion.
I feel like with this Eagles team, I think if Carson Wentz is on the field, it's a whole other story.
I just don't
think Nick Foles can be that explosive right off the bat. With we saw it last week. I don't think they can be like that off the bat.
They're an effective offense, I think, if they don't turn the ball over.
Right.
But they're not explosive like they were with Carson Wentz.
Exactly.
And I think that's the difference.
Yep, I agree.
And the Vikings are very effective and occasionally explosive.
Yep.
So
I'm with you.
And they're hot right now. So.
So we both got the Vikings?
I think we both got the Vikings. So I think it'll be close, though. I have a little bit. I thought the Falcons were going to, run over the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think they'd run over them, but I thought they'd play much better. I thought their offense would play much better.
The Eagles haven't really lost that much of a step since Carson Wentz went down, in the sense of the rest of the team is still playing just as well.
Right.
Just the court, they're not as explosive. And maybe Nick Foles can have another one of his 7 touchdown games. But I don't know.
All right, so the official sideline judgment for this week's games are Patriots and Vikings, but we both hope that the Jags make it to the Super Bowl.
I think they got a good shot.
I think so too.
I can't stop saying that because
I think so too.
I mean, now that you're in the AFC Championship,
anything can happen. You're one game away from the Super Bowl.
One way. Do you see what Jalen Ramsey said?
He says a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, all the Jaguars players came back to Everbank Field. They let fans come in to welcome the team home after their win.
Oh, cool.
And they came to the field, and Jalen Ramsey took the mic and he said, "I don't got a lot to say, but basically, y'all bring that energy, the same energy you brought this week. You bring that next week, and you bring it the week after." He's like, "We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win the whole thing."
Nice. That's what I want. I want that. Now, I want that.
I will say, I'm split on this because I do see the side of, okay, Pittsburgh did about the same thing last week, and it didn't go well for them. But Pittsburgh, I don't see this as the same thing. I see Pittsburgh was overlooking the Jaguars.
Well, Le'Veon Bell literally said, "I can't wait to play the Patriots." And
I think the Steelers were overlooking the Jaguars.
Yeah,
because they didn't consider them a threat.
They wanted the rematch.
I think this is more of the Jaguars are confident in their ability to beat the Patriots. It's not that they're overlooking them.
It's not arrogance. It's confidence.
It's. And you want that from your players. That's the feeling that I got, that this was more of a, this wasn't a, "Oh yeah, we're going to win. Let's not even think about that." They're not looking ahead to who they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
They're looking ahead to getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And to winning whatever game that is. They believe they can beat the Patriots.
Yep.
And I want that. Because I think too many times teams go into the Patriots and they beat themselves already. Because they don't believe they can win.
Mm-hmm.
That they deep down do not. I know that it's, every team thinks they can beat every other team. But honestly, against the Patriots, I personally do feel that some teams go into that stadium and they don't truly believe that they can win.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars do not have that problem. They're pissed and they want to win. So they'll have that on their side.
Yeah. And I think it'll work for them.
Yep.
All right, we've talked a lot of football this week, or today, about this week. I don't know. My brain's all over the place. Yeah, man. All right. I guess that's it. That's all we got to say this week.
I mean, pretty much.
Anything else?
I mean, I'm about to. All I can say is that if Blake Bortles, he's staying in Jacksonville. They're gonna keep him.
Okay.
It's Now, whatever, they might bring in another person, but they're not going to let him go at this point.
Yeah.
And we can argue over whether that's the smarter football move, but he's deserved that, I think, in my opinion. If he wins this game, and if he wins the Super Bowl, nothing's happened.
Well, first of all, if he wins the Super Bowl, he's the next Joe Flacco. They're going to give him a contract, and you're going to get inconsistent football play.
Hey, mostly 8-8 to winning seasons.
That's mediocre. That's not a franchise quarterback. Not a franchise quarterback.
I understand, and hopefully, I think that this front office will be able, if that does happen, like, they'll be able to be like, oh, okay, well, we can't do that. They're not going to, they might give him a contract, but the thing is, can you honestly say that if Ryan Tannehill went out there and won you a Super Bowl, even if he was inconsistent as hell, that you wouldn't give him he didn't deserve to be back? We can argue whether it's a smart football move, but
I'm not saying he's deserving back. I don't think he should be our starting quarterback. I don't think. Here's the thing. I think Ryan Tannehill is just a better Blake Bortles.
I mean, I think you're right.
Like, he's not a franchise quarterback. He's the solution now. Like, I want and we'll get into this when we do our NFL draft show podcast. But I want to draft a quarterback. That's what I'm saying. I want Baker, bro. I want to draft him. Tannehill's got 2 years left on his contract. Give him those 2 years to play. Let him walk afterwards. He can go get a contract somewhere else, and then Baker can learn under him for 2 years, and then in his third year, go in there.
I mean, I'm still at the point where, like, I believe they should bring in another person. Probably, I'm more of a draft person because it's very clear to me that, like, you can win now with Bortles.
Yeah.
We got an AFC championship. Yeah, we can win now despite him and sometimes because of him.
Right.
But you got to think about your future.
I agree.
That on top of that, though, is that he deserves to stay if he wins the Super Bowl.
Credit.
All these quarterbacks deserve to stay with it. It'd be weird if Nick Foles won a Super Bowl though, because he's clearly not the solution. Because again, they would also consider that Carson Wentz
got them
there.
Yeah, of course.
He's gonna finish the job. It's kind of like the JT Barrett, Cardale Jones thing.
Exactly
like that. He's gonna be the guy going forward.
Exactly.
Because we all know if Nick Foles was starting the whole year, they make the playoffs, but like they ain't where they are.
No, they're not. All right, so next week we're going to have a bowl review episode coming out.
We're going to remind you of all the bowls that happened.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to go back to that, talk about all that stuff. And then also we'll be having our special College Football Manifesto episode out later next week as well. Special edition. We did it with my stepdad. Talked a lot about what we kind of want to see change in college football in terms of the playoff conferences, how Group of Five teams are represented, all that stuff. All right, but other than that, I think that's all we got for today, Tyler. This has been Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, but go Jags.
Duval!
Okay, all right.
Oh, shut up. Okay, I get to say it.
All right, Duval, I got you. Bye.